So last week we talked about clearing the path, and we're kind of continuing on that theme a little bit as we move into the next aspect. But last week we also talked a bit about worry, and then I found this sign and I thought I'd share this with you. So I'm hopeful we're on the side of that that helps with the worry, right? You all need to tell the 9:30 that was funny. Did they laugh a little? Yeah, I know. I saw a lot of serious faces. I thought, okay, maybe I won't use that 11:30. Maybe people won't find it funny. Yeah. Okay, hope you enjoy that online. And outside. We always have three audiences, which is really sweet, huh? So probably more that we don't realize. Anyway, what's that? Slow waking up. Is that what it is? Okay. So how now? This is a series we're in now. Asking how now? And we're finishing today with this how now, but we don't ever really finish, do we? Of asking ourselves throughout our days, throughout our times, you know, what's mine to do now? How is it for me to show up now? And so you might remember at the beginning of this was based on some wisdom I received from a teacher many years ago. She said, you have to keep your relationships clean, clear, and current. And so we've been cleaning and clearing, and I also added in that first week, drawing close to the heart of ourselves, drawing close to the divine within, drawing close to each other. Last week, again, clearing the path. And this week, we are spiritually centering or getting into that currency, that staying spiritually current. So what does that mean, current? You know, if you think about the understanding of that word, currency, we talk about currency as money, right? And what we mean by currency as money in a spiritual sense is prosperity, right? Being in the flow is being in that current of energy. We know money is energy. And so we're also talking about energy in all of its forms, being in that flow of energy. John O'Donohue is an Irish poet who said, I would love to live like the river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. I love that. It was like my signature on my email for a while, just to remind me again and again, right? To flow like the river is to flow unburdened, isn't it? And to be surprised, delightfully surprised by all that gets uncovered as we let go and open to that divine flow. We think about currency, we can think about it in comparison to electricity or as a metaphor of electricity. You know, what happens when an electrical current isn't working and we begin to troubleshoot? You might find that there's a full break in the connection, but more often than not, there's a loose connection, right? And so this can happen for us too. It's not that our connection with spirit can ever be broken, but it gets a little loose sometimes, doesn't it? There's like, we got to jiggle the wire. We got to plug things back in, plug ourselves back in to get that flow happening again, to allow that currency to come through us once again. According to Lao Tzu, who's the founder of Taoism, in the 6th century BC, he says when we're in this state of flow, we've solved the enigma of human existence. Who wouldn't want to solve the enigma of human existence? Specifically, he says, the human spirit has its source in the divine fountain, which must be permitted to flow freely through us. Anyone who flows as life flows has solved the enigma of human existence and needs no other power. That's such an important part of his quote, that needs no other power. Anything is evil that blocks the flow of creative action, and everything is healthy that flows with the universe. Now, we might not say evil, but missing the mark, right? There's a block there when we create the blocks mentally. There's this quintessential truth that he talks about, that the divine is constantly available, constantly flowing. And whoever goes with that flow then, as he speaks about this, experiences fulfillment in life. When we move with that flow, things work. And whoever dwells in that which is untrue, which we know we can fill in these blanks, right? Lack, limitation, burdens, worry, anxiety, fear, whatever it is that might be blocking our flow then, keeps us from that healthy, creative, universal life force. Have you noticed how exhausting it is to feel worried and stressed? And have you noticed how energizing it is when you have something that you're looking forward to and you're feeling the joy right now in this moment about that? Or right now in the moment, you're having a connection with someone or with the essence of who you are, or you're in nature and something's lighting you up. You know how that feels, right? There's a sense of aliveness. There's a sense of access to our life force in a whole new way. We're in the current. We're in the spiritual current in those moments. So this is a really good season to be looking at where might the blocks be in clearing our paths. It's the season of Lent. It's also the season of Ramadan. Lent started Wednesday, Ramadan started a week ago Friday, and if you know any Muslims, you know how typically Muslims really follow Ramadan with the fasting from sunup to sundown, and prayer. And Lent is also, those practices are prominent in Lent of fasting and prayer. And so when we fast then, at least the way we understand it in unity, you can certainly do physical things, like people give up, let's say, sugar or alcohol for Lent or whatever it is that they think there's a habit that could, you know, be beneficial to them. And just like last week we talked about, when we physically declutter, we open up spiritual energy. So similarly, when we do these kinds of habit shifts physically, we do open up spiritual energy. When we fast from food, we do open up spiritual energy. And in unity and in New Thought, we really look at this idea of fasting as also fasting from negative thinking, fasting from things that are getting in our way, helping ourselves form new habits of mind and get out of habits of mind that aren't working for us anymore. So that really is the process. And then the question then for us is to reflect, is there some behavior that I would like to let go of, or that I isn't really serving me anymore? And or I would like to at least pause for a while and see what happens for me. I know at times when I've done fasting from food, I've been really surprised at times, and each time it's been different, of what arises. Remember one of the times I did it, I was like mildly irritated the whole time. It was pretty flatlined, but it was flatlined irritation, you know? And other times I've been like, wow, when I don't have food in my system, even though I was hungry at first, then you kind of get that hollowed out feeling. And then it's like you can really access spirit in a way that maybe sometimes doesn't feel so readily accessible. So there's a lot of different ways you can work with us, these ideas of fasting. And if we consider then, as we open ourselves and hollow out the space, if you will, from whatever the spinning, the stories of the mind, that the egoic aspects that don't help us, there is that, I feel peace. I feel like my mind is open. When I close my eyes and look with my spiritual eye, I see light. And that's the truth of our beings. Let's take a moment to just see if there's maybe some difficulty in our life or something standing in the way what we're doing. So just invite you, if you want to participate, to close your eyes for a moment and to go into a space of inquiry. And just as you drop into your heart, just see if there's something, and it may or may not be, but if there's some kind of challenge or difficulty or something you've been ruminating on lately, going on in your life and world, and just see if you can bring that specific situation into your mind. And then reflect for a moment, how have I been thinking or feeling about this situation? What's been the focus of my thought and feeling around it? And is the arc of your feeling and thinking about this situation bringing a sense of greater ease? Or is it causing greater disturbance in your heart and your mind? Now I invite you to move to that place of ease, to move into your heart space, to let the situation dissolve now, open up your mind and heart. Just breathe easily and effortlessly, taking in a few of these truths. And maybe even with your mind's eye, you'll see the light being that you are. I am light. I am filled with light. I am love. I am based in love and supported by love. There is peace in my mind in this moment, and peace in my body and heart. And so it is. Anybody notice a shift? Feel a little bit of a shift? Some of you, yeah, good. So it's the simple exercises that we can do for ourselves, this how now question, to just drop in and ask, what's going on now? What have I been kind of ruminating on lately or considering, or what am I seeing as a problem? And even if it, you know, in by all, you know, stretches of the imagination does really feel like it's kind of a problem, then how am I thinking about it? How am I feeling about it? Is that going to get the resolution that I want? Chances are no, right? Because you're not in the current. So we want to get back in the current, back in the flow, back in the energy that brings forth the life force that allows us to make wise choices, that brings forth the divine ideas to make the right decision, which way to go, what to do in this situation, or not to do, what to say, what to, you know, whatever it is, it opens up the pathways of guidance and clarity and light, which is the truth of who we are. We just keep forgetting. And it's okay that we keep forgetting, because we're on a human walk and it's not necessarily an easy one. So don't be hard on yourself about that. But recognize how easy it is to shift back in when we kind of cut that groove, right? We get that sense of, ah, oh, yeah, I can get back there easier because it's now more of a habit that I have formed. Whatever it is that we worry about, there's a lot of different ways that we can approach it and help ourselves lift that burden. There's an old legend about a monarch from the East who was very, you know, befuddled and distressed by lots of things going on in the kingdom and the palace and in his life. And he felt worried a lot of the time, plagued by worry, in fact. He felt harassed everywhere he turned. He was getting criticized. Everything he did, it seemed like that wasn't right for some of the people, and then this wasn't right for some of the people. And he was really, you know, a good king. He really wanted to be a good king. He wanted to do good for the people. And so he very earnestly came to his wise council, and he asked the counselors, you know, can you help me? He said, I think I figured out what I need, and what I need is just a few magic words. You know, can you just come up with a few magic words? I want it to be so simple and easy for me to remember that I want it on a signet ring so that I can just look at it and see it at all times and let it remind me. And then he gave them even more instruction and started to become like the impossible task for the counselors. He says, I want it brief enough to be on the signet ring so I can see it all the time, and then I want it to be appropriate for every situation that could possibly happen. I want it to be always wise and always true, and I want it to be endlessly enduring. Now, he was a relatively young king, and so he wanted it to last all of his reign, all of his lifetime. The counselors were like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to come up with here? So they went away, and they debated, and they prayed, and they debated, and they prayed, and so on it went for a very long time before they came back and very nervously presented to the king a signet ring with the new words on it that they thought might guide him and unburden, unlock the worries of his mind. And the king looked at his ring, and he read it to himself, and he nodded, he even chuckled a little, and they were so relieved. And then he said it aloud, this too shall pass. It does help keep things in perspective, doesn't it? It reminds us that things are temporary in the world. And it doesn't mean we don't love them deeply. And it doesn't mean we don't have devotion and attachment and connection and depths of this type of thing for the impermanence of life. And yet it is a good reminder that life has its peaks and its valleys. It has its, as the river flows, right? It has places where things get kind of bunched up and the rocks and the sticks and the debris get in the way. And then it has the places where it free flows. And so we can be in that flow and recognize sometimes we're just going to get stuck around the little bend there for a little while, and things might feel a little stagnant, and then something's going to move, or we're going to move something, and then it flows once again. So this too shall pass is not meant to be used as dismissing something of gravity or dismissing our feelings. That would be what we call metaphysical malpractice. You've heard that maybe before. And it's also not meant to be an excuse to be passive when action is required. You know, when we feel, and we know by following our guidance, our intuition, when it is our time to act, when there is something we need to do to assist in a situation. So it's not meant to be used in those ways, but it is meant to remind us, to relax us, to allow us to take a little lighter touch. And that lighter touch will help us move through life in a way that is more joyful, more effective, more alive, all of those things that happen when we get freed up and unburdened. So this idea of currency as energy that we've been talking about, there's also another sense of the word, and that sense of the word is being current, right? Being present, being in the now, being here now in this moment. Staying spiritually current is a sense of knowing that when I am fully present now, when I am fully in the now, I am actually helping shape the kind of future I want to have. We don't have to be focused on the future. We can just know, we can have maybe have a vision or a dream or an idea of where we want to head, right? Some kind of idea of a destination, like we hold a vision for the world here at Unity, and we have a mission that we grow into and live into all the time. So too, we have these things for our own lives. We have ways of being that we cast into the space of claiming, and we know that maybe we don't show up that way 100% of the time, but it's still a vision. It's still something we hold out there, or we have a dream. But not to be so focused there that we forget here, but to hold that, knowing to cast it forth, and then to be fully here now. That's being current with what is. With whatever is present. This is also the season for peace and nonviolence. And Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi are the bookends of that season for peace and nonviolence. And Martin Luther King was brilliant at this, both of them. Martin Luther King, you know, showed us how you can be fully engaged in activism, fully engaged in what it is that you dream of, equality, right? Doing everything you can to open up the way for equality for all. And at the same time, you're faced with all the obstacles to that, which he was. He could also hold the truth of what he believed would come in the future. He said that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. And so knowing even all that he was facing in the present moment, in the content of the moment, by being fully present to all of that, was shaping that future dream. How we show up now makes a difference. How we think now makes a difference. How we feel now makes a difference in what we are walking into next. And so that has to be something that we allow to guide us. And sometimes on the flip side of that vision or dream or whatever it is that we might be wanting to move to, we fill our now, our present moment, with distress about what might come. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, right? So you're ruining your now about something that hasn't yet happened and may never happen. One of my favorite quotes is Mark Twain, "I've had a lot of worries in my life, most of which never have happened." You know, it's so easy for us to do that, and especially if we tend to be future-focused people, if we tend to live in that kind of space of the future, and some of us are a little bit more oriented that way, and a lot of us are maybe trained to do a more of that. And so, like I said, some of it is helpful as long as we stay present now. And some of it is just almost laughable. Like my sister and my niece, I've overheard arguing about my niece's children's diet. But the funny part about that is my niece doesn't have children. And she's not even pregnant for the first time. And there's both so future focused, and I'll just go, "Hey, do you two, are you listening to yourselves, recognizing that there is no child here to even be worried about yet?" So, family, don't we love them? Yeah. Staying spiritually current allows us to avoid the pitfalls that we're talking about, because we're here now. And when we're here now, when you really allow yourself, I mean, really, like when Astra sings again, like stop everything. And just like really take in the song, really take in the music. Everything just opens up, doesn't it? I mean, when I do this and I'm with you in this space and we stop for a minute, it's like all of a sudden I can feel in a way that I wasn't feeling a minute ago. Do you have that experience? It's like all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, there's a lot going on. And when we come together in this way, it is so powerful. The energy in this room, it's like if you stop for a minute and you just really feel into the energy of the room, beyond the words, beyond whatever's going on up here and what's going on inside of you, and you just kind of drop in, it's like, wow, this is rich. And that's how it is all the time in life. Wherever you go, wherever you are, that allowing yourself to be present is magnificent. It opens up life in a whole new way. I mean, I could walk by these flowers and go, oh, yeah, I think there were pink flowers on the altar. Yeah, they were pretty. Or I could be like, wow, you are beautiful. And now I'm in relationship with this gorgeous rose, and I'm seeing pattern, and I'm, you know, now I want to smell it. Yeah, and it's all of that, right? It's all, literally stopping to smell the roses. That was funny. I didn't know that's what I was doing. And Lee, thanks to Lee, who arranged all these flowers, and thanks to the event that went on yesterday that donated the flowers to us. And I watched Lee do this with such presence. Yeah, what a gift, right? When we do things with presence, we transmit a kind of energy to each other that is different than if we do it just as a fast little, you know, check it off my list kind of thing. And it's better for us, and it's better for everybody who gets to enjoy it because it's infused with that kind of love, that kind of energy. It's like somebody who cooks with love and somebody who cooks to just throw the plates on the table, you know? Right, John? John and the men's group, they know what it's like to cook with love, and we know what it's like to enjoy their food. Yeah, that's presence. That's being now, present now. So this weekend, some of our leaders here at Unity have been engaged in the regional Key Leaders event. And on Friday night, it was about grief. And there was this lovely interview that was shown with Anderson Cooper and Francis Weller, who's the author of The Wild Edge of Sorrow. And it was an interview, Anderson interviewing this author, but really it was a counseling session for Anderson. Right? For his grief. It was beautiful. It was so beautiful and vulnerable. I really encourage you to watch it on YouTube. But anyway, Weller said these words, which I took note of because I knew we were talking about being spiritually current. And he said, when we have unfelt grief, we are not being current. And how many of us are walking around with unfelt grief? Humanity, all of humanity. You know, think about all the stuff that has gone on even in recent years, pandemic, two active wars, you know, school shootings, blah, blah. I don't even like to say all those words because we hear enough of that, but you know what I'm saying. There's heaviness, right? There's grief. And there has to be unfelt grief. And so to get present, to get current, causes us to look at that which we have pushed away, that which we have suppressed, and recognize that when I suppress my pain, I can't access my joy. When we suppress these things, it becomes kind of this sort of flatline life, right? We've suppressed our aliveness. And so it's looking and allowing, and he talked about tender melancholy, you know, just like let it be felt and seen and experienced, because that's where we touch our soul. That's where the truest part of ourselves starts to get unveiled. And I think a lot of us are inner children worry that we're going to get lost in some, you know, deep hole if we start to open up to our grief. And it's not true. It may last whoever knows how long, but it may also move very quickly. So it's just about us allowing ourselves to honor it, to honor the love that brought us to this place. So when all of our strategies, because we have lots of strategies, right? Do you have a lot of strategies, or maybe you have a couple just really good strategies that allow you to kind of keep things at bay, right? Push them down. You know, busyness and work and just throwing yourself into responsibilities or whatever it is, you know, that we kind of clutter our lives with in order to not allow ourselves to be so fully present. And so once the game's up and we recognize what we're doing, the antics that we have created, and we call ourselves out on it and we start to say, you know, that's not really serving me anyway anymore. And then we start to become present to what is there. And then we can just feel it and let it go. This too shall pass. This too does pass. It passes a lot more quickly if we address it and feel it than if we keep doing all the work to push it down. So being spiritually current is about being present in the now. And being present in the now, being in this divine flow, brings us into something else called the wow. Yeah, and the wow is that unfolding that John O'Donohue is talking about in his poem, that I'm carried by the surprise of the unfolding, right? The unfolding of self. Because when we let go of whatever's in the way, what comes forward? Spirit, right? The divine truth of who we are, the essence of our own souls, the truer self is able to shine, is able to be exposed, is able to be revealed to ourselves. And then we go, wow, this magnificence is in me. This truth is in me. This love is accessible now to me. I can feel joy. That's no longer this elusive thing. The wonder and the awe of it all is available to us because we have tended to that which was in the way. And not to just clear it out of the way, but to go into it and to, you know, get the blessings there too, the blessings of our sadness, the blessings of our aloneness, the compassion that comes when we connect with these things that connect us to the rest of humanity. So much is here for us. So much is available. I was talking to Chip the Monk's author. You know Chip the Monk, right? We've done, some of you have been with us. We've done these children's books. And Chip the Monk is, what does he say? His tagline is bringing peace to your mind or something like that. Being kind to your mind. Being kind to your mind. And Dalai the Lama, who helps dissolve drama, that was book two. And so book three is coming out, and I said to her, I said, oh, right, I remember now, it's Holy Cow Who Lives in the Now. And she said, oh, Kristen, she said, the now is so early 2000s. She said, it's Holy Cow Who Lives in the Wow. It's like, oh, right. Because the now brings us to the wow, right? When we live in the now, we move into this wow. And the wow is that those moments, and then we keep stringing these moments together, and pretty soon it's just living it, this recognition of the truth of who we are. The reminder, the remembrance, the allowing, the touching of the love, the light, the truth that is here for us. And when we come in touch with that, it is a wow. It's like my whole experience with the rose a few minutes ago. I mean, I didn't really go way into it. I could have. But, you know, I didn't want to bore you with my own reverie. But, you know, you can do that for yourself, right? The blossoming of your consciousness, the opening of your own heart like a rose. And the intrigue of that. Oh, my gosh, the layers of me. How beautiful. How beautiful. Even the scars, how beautiful. This journey that you have walked, this human journey that you have been to up until now. And here you are still showing up. Here you are still getting up in the morning. Here you are still facing everything that there is in the world and in life and in your family and in your body and just going, yes, I can keep doing, I can keep going and coming to a place like this and staying true to your spiritual journey. Because, you know, that becomes our lifeline, right? When we recognize how good it works. When we recognize how when we work these principles, they work for us. When we get into the current of life, we flow. Wow! Wow! That is a wonderful realization, isn't it? Life can be a lot easier, more effortless. Life can be a lot more joyful. You can feel a lot more alive by staying current, in the current of your life, aware of what's going on inside. There's all these layers, right? We can be present to the now moment, and we can be present to the fact that we're standing, you know, I'm standing, you're sitting, in the sanctuary, or outside, or behind the camera at home, comfortably, probably in some kind of lovely recliner. We can be present to that. We can be present to what's going on. We start to get more present. We start to get more sensually present, more physically present to, oh, I can feel that little bit of, you know, air on my face, or I can feel the clothes on my body, or I can feel, oh, that little ache or pain, or, you know, so it comes to that physical level. And then we go a little deeper into the presence, into the now, and we begin to recognize that, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about this. I've been thinking about this a lot. Or, oh, I've got that, like, heaviness on my heart. Oh, I'm not feeling great right now. And so, or I'm feeling fabulous, you know, or, you know, so whatever it is that's present, you know, and then we go to that deepest of places, which is really what the now is about, which is the presence itself. It's not just being present to what is, it's present to the presence. And then pretty soon there's not even the relationship anymore of I'm present to the presence, but I'm in the presence. I'm like a fish swimming in water. I'm just present, fully in the divine. That's wow. And it's who you are. Wow is who you are. Divine is who you are. Light and love and truth. So it's all here for us. And when we allow ourselves to follow it, when we allow ourselves to follow the river, life just is, I'll just speak for myself. When I follow the guidance of Spirit, when I let the river of Spirit guide my life, it does surprise me. It does carry me in such a way that there are unfolding surprises, delightful surprises, aha moments. And Spirit always gives me better ideas of what to say and what to do than I could ever think up with my intellect. You know, it doesn't mean the intellect doesn't have good ideas. It's just Spirit has better ones, right? And so it's opening and recognizing and falling into that and surrendering into that and allowing ourselves to be guided and not to try to manipulate and control everything all the time, but just to say, instead of living like this, I'm going to live like this. Wow, how much easier that is. It almost seems too easy for our minds. And yet there it is, over and over again, available to us to live in that kind of current. I know Spirit will never, ever let me down. Do you know that about yourself? Do you know that about the truth within yourself? Tell it to yourself. Because the more we tell ourselves and remind ourselves of that, the more we'll relax in and trust it and allow it to be the flow that continuously unfolds us and surprises us and wows us. So there's lots of ways we can do this. You have lots of spiritual tools. Remember Emmett Fox's golden key. It's so simple. He just says, whatever you're thinking about, whatever's distressing you, when you recognize you're thinking about it, stop and think about God instead. Whatever that means to you, you know, think about something that uplifts you. Think about gratitude. Think about light or love or wisdom or nature or something that shifts your attention. He calls it golden keying, whatever that situation is. Apply the golden key. And then, of course, we always have meditation, which brings us into that habitual space that allows us to live from here out instead of from out into here. And when we live from here out, things just work better. We're more in the flow. It's just that simple. So how now? How now? Let's go back to Lao Tzu. Anyone who flows as life flows has solved the enigma of human existence. I mean, that's a pretty big statement. Anybody who flows as life flows and needs no other power. Because that is the power. That's the real power. So let's stay spiritually current. Live in the now, live in the wow, and flow with the divine. It all goes together, doesn't it? I want to invite you to share in this intention with me through our affirmation. Together? When I am spiritually current, I am in the now and the wow of divine flow. And so it is.